This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. February is here, and there's no better time to invest in yourself and learn something new at Lynda.com with a free 10-day trial. Learn from more than 3,000 online courses on such subjects as web development, Android development, photography, visual design, and business. Some of the courses we recommend include Samsung Galaxy Notes tips and tricks, simple Android development tools, Android SDK essential tools, and don't forget about the Code Clinics, an innovative series where each month Lynda.com issues a code challenge and authors share their solutions via a variety of programming languages. So sign up for a free 10-day trial at lynda.com/androidcentral. Go on, we challenge you to learn something new in 2015. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 221 for February 6th, 2015. And, well, this could be interesting because when I just told the world that we are now recording live and come watch, I kind of shared the wrong link. And the link I, in fact, shared allows anyone to come and say hi. So if somebody should happen to, you know, pop in here in the middle of the show, well, maybe we'll keep them. We'll see. That was pretty funny. Andrew doesn't think it was funny. Andrew's pretty
much. I was mildly comical, yeah.
Should I reshare the right link now?
Nah, you could do that, yeah.
That's the first time I've done that.
That's kind of surprising, actually, after many hundreds of episodes.
Of all the ways I can screw up, that's the first time I've done that one. Somebody should at least like show up and drop a Baba Booey or something. That's pretty good. Ba-ba-ba-ba-y! And then just run. Oh man, so this is gonna be one of those shows. Here comes somebody. There we go. Hi guys, how's it going? Look at that. These people are gonna drop in and be like, "Where the hell am I?" Now it's fun for me. Now it's officially fun. All right. Well, you don't say hi within like the first 5 seconds, we're kicking you.
It's going to be a fun hour of people showing up, realizing what the heck's going on.
How did I do that? I can't, like, lock it down now, can I?
Nope.
So
I don't know how that works, so I guess this is how you learn.
We're just going to soldier on and try to never do that again. So how's it going, folks? Andrew Martinick, Russell Holly, just three of us.
Until that happened, it was going pretty well, yeah.
It's going to be 3 plus 12. I don't know.
Man. 3 plus that, whoever shows up.
That is such a good screw up. One time I'm going to do that and not say anything, and we'll just have people. Here comes somebody. Hi, Jules. How's it going? See if Jules is going to say hi. Nope. Bye, Jules. This is going to be great.
Phil plays podcast moderator, and Russell and I will just talk.
It kind of doesn't even matter what we talk about this week, because it's just going to be overshadowed by these awesome random people like Matt, who just hopped in here. Hi, Matt. How's it going? Say hi, Matt. Come on. You can do it. Oh, poor guy. It's not your fault, Matt. It's my fault. I shared the wrong link. See you, though. This is great.
See, so, Matt just turned on, he clicked the link and he was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go walk, you know, around the house and I'll come back and the podcast will be started. Meanwhile,
it's time to listen to the podcast.
It's broadcasting.
So what are we going to talk about this week?
Oh, gosh, I'm prepared. It's great. Thrown for a loop now.
I know. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this new toy I have back here behind me. You see that? Not the Nexus Q. In front of the Nexus Q.
Why is it in front of the Nexus Q?
Well, because I needed to put it somewhere where I could show it on camera, and that's just where I put it.
I think should be behind the superior Nexus Q.
Everybody listening and not watching the video is like, all right, guys, what the hell are you talking about? I got the Amazon Echo speaker this week, which I really want to talk a whole lot about, but at the same time I don't because you can't really buy it yet, right? I mean, I had to wait about – I think I ordered it right before CES. I finally got the invite to buy it. I got it, what, 3 days ago, 2 days ago? So, you know, kind of a wait. You have to, you know, not everybody can get it, so it's not like this ubiquitous thing. But I tell you, it's really pretty good, actually. Like, I don't get that they're not, I mean, I do get that they're not, you know, making this a really viable commercial product right this second, but there's a lot of potential in this thing. It kind of makes me really excited for Amazon, for as bad as the Fire Phone is, and is.
I was going to say Amazon's really good at making non-commercially viable products, but then continuing to make them anyway. So
well, no. Like this is something I would actually maybe recommend to people, and I've been showing it to people, and it, I mean, it's so much fun because I can just say, Alexa, read me the headlines.
Oh, it lit up.
Yeah, and I've got it turned down so you can't really hear it right now. Here, Alexa, turn volume to 7. Alexa, set volume to 7. Can't turn it up too much if there are other people in the offices, but Alexa, play headlines.
Shuffling the Alliance.
No, Alexa, stop. I don't know who the Alliance is, so every now and then like she doesn't hear me quite right.
That was a great Alexa, commercial. Stop.
Actually, really good story this morning. It's like 6:30 in the morning. I'm still laying in bed. And, I've showed this to my daughters at home, and they think it's great. So Mia says, trigger word. I'm not going to do it right now. Nice try. In fact, Alexa, set volume to 2. That's actually kind of fun. But Mia says, trigger word, play Taylor Swift. And so blank space, just I don't know how it got turned up all the way, but it did. It just immediately launches into it. She's trying to tell it to stop, but it can't hear her because the music is so loud. My wife has absolutely no idea how to turn it off. She finally just unplugs the thing. Like, it's one of those times where I get that they didn't put a volume button or a mute button or anything on it, but I kind of wish they had. It's cool. It's got, little LED lights, and I can tell it to play the Android Central podcast, and it will, because we're in TuneIn. Like, that's kind of neat.
It's also, like, there's a crazy bit of hardware in there. Like, there's a lot of microphones sitting mm-hmm. on the top, and that ring that's around the top will actually point light in the direction that it hears the trigger word from before you say it. So it's like a confirmation that it heard you.
It's really fast. That's the most impressive thing. Like, for as much as I use Google Now, and kind of the always-on stuff in the Moto X, which, like, it works, but the latency is very obvious, right? It's a lot less if you talk to your desktop browser, which makes sense. Siri, I think, is still better than Google Now in that respect. It's faster. This is maybe faster than Siri as well. In fact, I think it is faster than Siri. Really, really nicely done. It's limited, right? I can ask it a lot of stuff. I can have it do math, which is kind of cool. You can ask it random questions about things. So my kids have had a fun time with that. But, it's just not the same as a phone yet. I don't even know what it's pulling from. That's the other thing is I just have no idea. Is it using Google? Is it using Bing? Is it using Yahoo? Like, where is it getting all this information? And I need to read up on it some more. I just haven't had a chance to. It does headlines from NPR and the BBC. And then a couple other sources that just aren't as good because then it starts reading it to you instead of using their services. But a lot of potential in this thing. And it really makes me wonder, how did Amazon beat everybody to this? Like, for as awesome as the Nexus Q is, and never mind the fact that it didn't go on sale or anything close to that, but like, how did Amazon beat everybody to the punch of this standalone device that does all this Google Now sort of thing, but not nearly as much because it doesn't have all the services, but behaves very much the way you expect it to? Like, where's Google in all this?
I mean, is this something that any appreciable number of people are actually asking for or will be asking for?
That's the thing. They don't know about it yet, right? Because so few people have it. It's also just a normal Bluetooth speaker, for better or worse, and I'm
right. Well,
on those.
I mean, Bluetooth speakers are a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. So
right.
I can see the point of Amazon wanting to do something cool with a Bluetooth speaker, where it's this other thing mostly. But I mean, for me, you haven't gone even a single step towards convincing me that I would want one of these. So
fair enough. And if you had to, if you showed me this versus Sonos, I think I would still pick Sonos, even with the much different, not much different, I guess. It was $99 because I'm a Prime member. But, $200 for a Bluetooth speaker that has this extra stuff, okay. But Sonos just sounds a lot better. Turn this up all the way, and it's just not nearly as deep as the Sonos sound is. Again, I ask the question, how does Google not have anything like this yet? Like, you think that would be just totally right there in the mix. Some Sonos-y type device. And I like, I love being able to stream things directly into Chromecast and Sonos as well through Google Play Music much, much better than I do this you know, any sort of Bluetooth implementation, although this ties in directly to Wi-Fi, so it will play things off your Amazon account directly from that, just like Chromecast pulls things in directly. So that's good. But
Google is part of the way there with voice controls on the phone side to say, you know, play this artist, you know, play, you know, some radio station, play whatever. What they're missing is being able to tell your phone, okay, play this Metallica album on my home Chromecast.
Right.
Or something. And with this new Google Cast for Audio protocol that they're doing with, you know, just audio only for speakers and things like that, you could see that being a little more, you know, that's obviously more extensible, and it's potentially a lot more interesting than this single hardware device. Who knows if they would need, you know, more of a reference platform or something of that sort, but if you could turn any Chromecast that's plugged into any AV receiver TV into an Amazon Echo for $35 instead of $200, it makes a lot more sense.
Exactly. So, yeah, in many ways it's kind of unfinished, but it's also not. It's this weird in-between, right? And it's Amazon, so it's missing services I'm used to, but I don't know. I mean, there's something about it. There's just a lot of fun, though. But we'll see. I don't know if anyone's going to buy it ever. It's too bad. But I'm excited about it. I kind of am. It's a new toy. Let's be honest. That's what's really doing it for me.
I mean, look at that shelf. You like toys.
Yeah. You want to see another new toy? I just picked this up on the way back to the podcast. See if you can tell what it is. What phone is that? I know
that
you guys.
A giant front-facing camera.
You can,
yeah, giant slabby phone.
Tiny front-facing camera. So it's the Huawei Honor 6 Plus. It's pretty big. I don't think I'd want to go any bigger than this, but the camera is the big deal on that, so that's why I'm playing with it. It's the actual Chinese model, so it took me a little while to get it going. And actually, I'm not used to their UI at all. What do they call it? It's the
Emotion UI.
Emotion UI, yeah. So that's taking a little getting used to, but I'm playing with that now too. So we'll see. I don't know how much I'm writing on that, just on principle, because you can't buy one here, and I can't test the networks or anything, but which means battery life is a crapshoot. But that's going to be fun. So I got a lot of new toys going on. What about you guys?
Not as many new toys.
Yeah.
Jeez, you get to have all the fun.
I'm going to start playing with a 3D printer soon. I'm going to figure out what role Android plays in 3D printing. Because I think it could play a pretty significant role, but I'm not sure yet.
Do me a favor and just explain to people what 3D printing is, because it's one of those things you hear, but until you see it, it's tough to...
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a crazy idea. So it takes, you know, in most cases, it takes like a plastic or, you know, a plastic polymer filament, like a long string of plastic that's wrapped up in a coil, and it feeds it through this machine that heats up the plastic and just kind of sets it in drops. And then it takes those drops and stacks it until it creates a three-dimensional object. And so you get this box that's like, you know, half the size of my desk that has these mechanical arms that move back and forth to arrange this extruder so that it pushes out the plastic until it creates the shape that I tell it to from either my computer or my phone.
It's very much kind of one of the, like, you would see in movies, and I shouldn't say old movies,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah,
because they're not that old, but that same sort of thing.
It does definitely have kind of a future vibe to it. And one of the cool things that we're seeing now with, you know, kind of higher resolution cameras that we're getting on phones and better software for handling like 3D modeling and stuff is that it could theoretically be possible to take a series of pictures with your phone and have a 3D model of something that you could then send to a printer to have printed. And I think that's really cool.
Hmm. I'm trying to think how like some of the depth information we get now would make a difference in... That's kind of cool. So what else is going on this week? I didn't prepare for this podcast at all. I've been doing a million things. So it's been kind of a weird week anyway, right? Like we're in this CES MWC lull.
Well, geez, not for long. I mean,
I know.
We're darn close to MWC here. I was just looking at the calendar, and it's only a couple weeks out here.
We started getting Lollipop on a lot more devices, though, right?
Yeah, this was like the flood of carrier devices getting Lollipop. And Sprint and Verizon both pushed it for the GS5, which is millions and millions of users. Sprint also pushed it for the 1M7, 1M8. And we've got a document that says that the G3 is next week as well. So that's a pretty huge swath of people on two carriers getting it.
I'm getting a good, decent amount of hate mail, by the way. Like, more than normal. And again, it's nothing we haven't talked about a million times, whether it's actual update issues people are having or just people not liking new things or... And I don't know. I mean, I know I've talked about some of the problems I've had with Lollipop. And there's just so many variables that go into it.
I mean, it seemed to be a mixture. We put up one of the, a post that said, if you've got the update, let us know how it's going to try to aggregate that. And, it's got 300 comments or whatever, people chiming in on their S5s. It seemed to lean a little more towards there are actual bugs with the way that the update got handled to where it's kind of killing the battery because it sounds like there are processes that are getting left wide open or something like that. But then there are a lot of people that just say, yeah, the performance is good, but I have a problem with the way it handles notifications or I have a problem with, XYZ interface change.
We've done, I'm trying to remember how many posts we've done. We've done a few posts about tips, if you update and things go bad, but really, I just kind of recommend a hard reset and go from there. I hate to say it, but that's generally what it's going to take, right?
Unfortunately, yeah. I don't know. Russell has a Verizon GS5, but I don't know how much you had used it or how recently you had factory reset it before you got the update.
I hadn't factory reset it in a while, and I used it. It's been off on my desk for, 3 months. But I used it for 2 months before that. So, I mean, it had all of my apps and everything on it already. It had all of my data from the time that I had used it. And I don't feel, any sluggishness from the update. I mean, it definitely has powered through a lot of things. But... it also doesn't feel overly different from the previous version of the software. I mean, like, there are still things that Samsung does that just plain take a long time. Like, when you swipe over to the My Magazine thing on the Galaxy S5 homepage, or if you go and try and launch the gallery, or, the things that already had taken a little while, they feel like they still take the same amount of time to me.
I've used an updated MX, an updated Moto X, and then the M8 I've been using with Lollipop for a couple weeks now.
I thought that the M8 took the transition the best in,
really
in my
well,
experience.
And especially because they didn't stick with Google's ridiculous, no, you can't ever just mute your phone easily, but still get every notification and alarms scheme. Trying to think, am I using anything else? Nexus 9, obviously. Nexus 6 I've used, but those aren't updates. I think that's it. None of my Samsung stuff has it yet, and some of my Samsung stuff is...
The Shield tablet handled it just fine, and there's not a whole lot going on there. I have the LTE version, which it was a little bit behind the Wi-Fi version, but that handled it just fine, and they were one of the quicker ones to update, too.
What about... uptake, because we got the new numbers this week. Was that this week or last week? That was this week.
That was this week.
I think it's 1.6%.
Yep, 1.6% adoption after a couple months.
Does it feel slow? I mean, does it feel like that's slow uptake again?
Some people were saying it felt slow, and when I first saw the number, I thought, wow, only at 1.6%, but I think Alex brought up the point quickly that we were at 1.8% KitKat by this point, and,
That's pretty much on par right there.
That's pretty much on par, the only difference being that the Nexus 5 launched a little earlier than the Nexus 6 did, and it was a little bit easier to get a hold of one. I mean... the Nexus 6 ramped up pretty quickly, having carriers on board for the most part. But I don't think that there's that big of a discrepancy. You know, we're also talking about in a year's time, the pie is a lot bigger too. So 1.6% is a lot larger number than 1.8% a year ago.
That is a very, very good point.
In terms of sheer number of devices, of course.
Yeah.
There's probably also a sales effect to keep in mind. I mean, both the Nexus 9 and the Nexus 6 were noticeably more expensive than the Nexus 7 and the Nexus 5. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with both being less than easy to get a hold of at launch, you know, on top of being noticeably more expensive, that had to have some kind of an effect on this generation's launch as well.
And I didn't even mention, the Nexus 7 was already on sale, and so it just had to be updated to KitKat. And, right. You know, there's a huge install base of millions and millions. I mean, they were selling at least 1 million a month of the Nexus 7. So that's a pretty good install base right there.
And, you know, Samsung's just starting to get it. So that's... Yep. That's the tide that lifts the boats, right?
Yeah, and up till this point, you know, HTC had rolled out quite a few updates, but it was, I think when the numbers came out, it was just a couple of unlocked versions. I mean, we're just now seeing carrier versions get it. Developer version just got it a couple days ago, too. So, and that's a much smaller... Uh-oh, now Phil's gone. That's a much smaller number of devices than, you know, you get the S5. Like, Russell, you said that it's not that many changes visually, but, you know, when you're looking at this chart, it's, is it running 5.0 or is it running 4.4? And the difference is when you get the S5 and the Note 4 start rolling out with KitKat or Lollipop now, that's going to be a huge number. And in a couple months, you know, we could see this get double digits, but, you know, that's, even that would be very surprising.
We've heard kind of internally that we need to not pay too much attention to whether we're running 501 or 502, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, because there's going to be some pretty minor differences there.
The M8 I have right now is 501, but you know, looks and feels the same to me. I mean, looks and feels fine.
I think it's also worth pointing out that, you know, a big difference from this year over last year is the sheer amount of information that we're getting from manufacturers about the update process.
Right.
Yeah. You know, for KitKat, we knew that updates were coming for the big phones, but we really didn't know what was going on for anything else. And while Samsung has maintained their kind of usual, you know, silence, we've gotten a ton of information from HTC, from Motorola, from LG, you know, about the update process. I think Huawei has said a couple of things about their update process for some of their phones. And we just didn't have this kind of communication with the previous versions of Android. And I think that that's a positive step forward, even if it means we're not getting updates, you know, faster. I think the information is perhaps more valuable at this stage.
And even if it means they miss it by a little bit, HTC missed... I think it was the M7 they said they weren't going to make the 90 days on.
Yeah, it was some carrier versions of the M7. But then what happened 4 days after that, you know, they 93 days, they had Sprint M7 and M8, Canadian M7 and M8, developer editions of the M8. I mean...
And I'm not saying you got to give everybody a pass on everything, but come on. Everybody's trying, and it's pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time getting mad about that, I think. People will disagree with me.
a lot of people have an easier time getting mad about things, Phil. You should know this.
That's true.
But I just don't think it's... just to put an end cap on it, who cares if it's 1.6 versus 1.8, right? I mean, does it matter? It's all about whether or not you're happy with the OS on your phone. And if that number was 2.5%, would you feel better if your phone didn't have it? It doesn't matter.
I think I wrote this in the Dell tablet review that, you know, this thing is running 4.4, and I am perfectly happy with it on 4.4. That I can mute the tablet is a good thing. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, as I'm using it, it's running exactly the same. Like, I can't tell a difference. You know, notifications are a little different. That's, you know... But to me, that's not a huge deal breaker. I get if it is. That said, I have no idea when Dell and Intel are going to get this out. So, hey, by the way, speaking of that Dell tablet, I'm not sure when. I just happened to check today. It had been a few days since I picked this thing up. It finally got that update that turns on the measuring thing in the gallery. So you can take a picture of something and then touch two points and say measure from here to here, and it get, you know, tries to guess how long that thing is. And you can also do area because it's all just math. So that's kind of cool.
So how long is the Amazon Echo behind you?
I don't know. Let's see if it'll do it. You guys talk amongst yourselves while I take a picture.
He was like highly puzzled there for a second. He's like, well, a spec sheet. Got
that's right. No, actually, I know how tall it is because I worked this week. So, all right. So
how would I possibly know that off the top of my head, Russell? What's wrong with you?
No, I was like, what? The Echo's on? Did I say the word? So, I mean, and that's the weird thing about this tablet. You have to, you don't have to turn it upside down, but they, you know, recommend you turn it upside down like this so the cameras are all on top, which is kind of annoying. But all right, so let's see.
You take the picture, and then you have to go into the gallery
and
select the picture.
And it takes a few seconds for it to do all the math.
So it's doing that, huh? So it's, is it a separate mode that you switch it into when you're taking the picture, or is it gathering that data for all the pictures?
Yeah, so it just said measuring and had a little, you know, spinner. So no, it's just a little ruler icon right here, and I touch it.
Interesting. So that feature is available to any picture that you would take
with that with those three back cameras. So yeah, so it does say right here that my cameras are out of, you know, they are not calibrated, they are out of alignment, and it will fix those as I take more. So let's see. So right now it's on distance, so I'm going to touch one point, another point, and it's saying 10 inches, which is close. It's 9 inches. Might be 9 and change. I'm trying to remember. So, you know, it's approximate. My thing is it's still not going to be as accurate and easy as just carrying a little measuring tape.
I don't know. I think you could get like a belt holster, like a leather belt holster to put the tablet in when you're working around the house.
It does fit in the back pocket, but come on. No, and, you know, I mean, like I said, I think last week, I could see that sort of tech in like a security camera would be really cool. And, you know, and there's all sorts of applications you could do for it, but as far as carrying a tablet around, come on, no.
Nope.
It's really this weird mix of referencey and commercial platform. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will do some Q&A. How about that?
How about it?
We'll see who else joins us. Whoops. For a lot of us, shaving is a pain. In fact, it sucks. It's uncomfortable and makes not shaving sound like a much more attractive proposition. And that's not even getting into how much it costs. Razor blades today are ridiculously expensive. That brings us to Harry's and Harry's.com. It was started by a couple guys who simply wanted a better product without having to pay an arm and a leg to get it. And thus, Harry's was born. In fact, they liked the product so much that they bought the factory in Germany. And from there, we now get high-quality, high-performing German blades crafted by shaving experts, so you get a better shave that respects your face as much as it does your wallet. Plus, you don't even have to leave the house. Harry's products make their way from the factory to your doorstep without you having to set foot anywhere near a drugstore. And get this, shipping is free. Now, the starter set runs $15 for a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 blades. Why would you ever pay $32 for an 8-pack ever again? On average, Harry's customers save $150 every year. And it makes even more sense if you're the type who doesn't shave every day. Now, I've got a luscious beard going on these days, but it still takes a decent amount of maintenance. Now, Harry's has made the upkeep even more economical for me, and don't forget, painless. Harry's stuff looks and feels good, and it even manages to help me look and feel good. So experience a clean, close, comfortable shave with Harry's. Go to harrys.com now and get $5 off your first purchase with the coupon code AC. That's HARRYS.com and enter coupon code AC at checkout for $5 off and to start shaving better today. Would have been really cool if, like, somebody famous had popped in. Which, of course, is never going to happen. I mean, more famous than Jerry. But Jerry should have popped in.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I guess he still could if he really wanted to. Oh, man. So you want to do some Q&A? Since we all
let us
Q&A is getting nice and full.
Yes, let's just start at the top. Kevin asks, from what I can tell, Android Auto is just an auto-oriented interface with some auto-specific hardware. This is really much better than having the interface and voice controls on our phones mounted to the dash, or am I missing something here?
I think it is better. Yeah. I think having a big screen and having a defined time when you have a physical connection that you connect to that, and now apps know to display in a certain way, and you only have access to apps that are properly displayed for that screen. You know, you're not in that middle ground where you can get yourself into a thing where now you're scrolling around weird portions of maps on your phone in a dock.
Yeah, and I mean, you say just an auto-oriented interface with some auto-specific hardware. I got to tell you, the way that the buttons are laid out, it makes a big deal when you're making that kind of split-second reach out to change things, especially, oddly enough, in Android 5.0. You know, if I had my phone mounted on my dashboard like this and I went to go change tracks or something and then one of the notification cards drops down from a conversation... then, all of a sudden there's buttons that I can't push unless I swipe out of the way. And if I don't swipe hard enough, then it actually launches that Messenger application instead of letting me go back to the music. And by this point, I've crashed into a tree because I'm incompetent behind the wheel. And, so it ends up being a whole big mess. So I think it's maybe downselling a little bit when you say just an auto-oriented interface. It ends up being a pretty big deal for how quickly you go to, move around and do stuff while in the car.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason those things haven't changed a whole lot over the years, right? Because they do a lot of data on this stuff. There was some list-type stuff that I remember seeing in the demos, and again, I haven't used it in an actual car yet, but we've seen a lot of the units, and there's at one point you had to do a lot of scrolling, and that just made zero sense. Like, either it just wasn't done... or, I don't know, something, but...
Yeah, at some point, the developers still, of course they can target Android Auto and make that interface, but it's on them to make it, simple, not just within the guidelines, because the guidelines still allow you to have a scrolling list.
Yeah, and there was one, I think it was Hyundai, where it's pretty much a factory, it's an OEM radio with Hyundai's own stuff, and I'm pretty sure it was Hyundai, and then down on the bottom it had... had an icon for was it CarPlay for iOS and then one for Android Auto. And then you would hit that, and then you would get into your Google Play Music and your maps and stuff like that. But if you hit like the main, I think there was a home button, then it would take you back to Hyundai stuff. So it was not an afterthought, but not stock Android Auto.
It's not the central focus.
Right. Yeah, I think we talked about that at CES as well, because I saw the same thing on Panasonic, where if you go all the way over to the right, there's a button that says Return to Panasonic, and it goes back to the factory head unit look, which, Google kind of shot themselves in the foot with that, because Android Auto can't control your climate control and your seat heaters and your stereo and all that stuff. So you're kind of, a manufacturer is not going to just put Android Auto in there, because they need their own stuff too.
I almost have to wonder if aftermarket's not the way to go. I mean, we'll have to see, and it's not like you're going to have a whole lot of options. You're not going to be like, all right, I have a Hyundai, but I really want Honda's implementation of this. It's a really weird thing the more I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking forward to ripping the stereo out of my car and putting Android Auto in there.
Forward to spending that much money to do it, though?
It is going to be a little expensive. I think it's hard to judge, because a lot of the car stereos that do the stuff that I think are important, mm-hmm. That have decent Bluetooth controls and can mesh correctly with some of the hardware I have, they really aren't all that different in price. I think there's about $100 difference. And you're getting some extra features with some of these other car stereos, like the ability to work with third-party dash cams and stuff like that. So it may not end up being all that more expensive when these things actually come to market. We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I guess it's expensive in the world of Android devices we're used to.
I could have a full high-end phone and more for that price.
I could have a whole computer for that much. $1,700 for a head unit just seems a lot to me, and maybe I just don't drive enough also to make it worth that much. So, yeah, you know,
you're
I might
talking
get
to the guy who doesn't own a car. So
right. I might get the cheapest one just to see if that's enough and if I'm okay with this resistive touchscreen. And you know, what I really want is some decent Bluetooth stuff so I can take calls and play music. You're not gonna play music. It's gotta be plugged in over Bluetooth. So I don't know. I gotta go back and look some more. In fact, we need to check and see when they go on sale. We haven't heard anything in a while, right?
Not since CES.
Not since CES. There are definitely some questions that need to be answered.
Yep.
We need to
quite a few
assemble the army.
Project for next week. that was a good question, though. That's a good question. Gerardo, I'm going to say Gerardo, sorry. With more lesser-known companies putting out high-end devices, will 2015 be the year that U.S. consumers take the plunge and start purchasing these devices? Yeah, absolutely.
It depends what you call the year of. I mean, we're not going to see 70% of phone purchases in the U.S. be unlocked from not top-two-tiered companies. I mean, it's just... Do you classify that as 10% of phones, 15% of phones, 20% of phones? It's, you know, when you're talking about Apple taking half of the market away, so there's 50% gone, and then Samsung taking another considerable chunk, and then HTC and LG, you wouldn't call them smaller manufacturers. There's not a whole lot of the pie left to be considered for, you know, that quick of a turnaround.
I think we're going to see more Huawei this year than we're used to.
Seeing more ZTE on prepaid carriers,
yep.
Which is, I would definitely say, a lesser-known manufacturer in the U.S.
We're seeing more Alcatel.
I'm pretty sure those OnePlus people aren't going away.
Yep.
Probably not.
I would like to see Xiaomi get into the U.S., but doesn't sound like they're going to. I mean, they say there's a press event next week, right?
Mm-hmm. But they seem to be very confident in the way that they're doing things in China. And I think that they would be smart to have a very, very good plan for how they're going to go to Western markets, because they're not going to be able to go with the same system that they go with.
Right.
And in many cases, they're not going to be able to go with the hardware that they currently have. I mean, there's just no way some of those devices are going to enter the U.S. without some serious legal problems.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see some. We've got Blue here in Florida, actually, that's doing some really interesting stuff. And for me, I think the important thing is you're able to get these cheaper devices that just aren't total crap now. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with them not being, you know, 100% on par with, you know, the Galaxy series and what HTC and LG do. But I'm glad you can get, you know, an unlocked phone for $200 without it just being total crap. That's super important.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for them. It's important for me. let's see. Chad asks, Android 5.1. Oh, we haven't talked about this yet. Secretly released on Android 1, only one or two changes discussed, the nothing from the blogs or Google. What's up?
Secretly, except for secretly. It was put on phones.
We've been sworn to secrecy. No. So what happened was it showed up in some, I guess, promotional material for Android One in India. And then somebody sent Android Police a couple pictures, supposedly. I don't know anything about it. You know, I've seen people say it's a major update. And I've seen people say it's a minor update. And nobody who's written about this thing has actually seen it and used it, as far as I can tell.
And I hope at this point that it's not some major update. You know, there are a lot of unless you qualify that as a bunch of minor things getting fixed.
I mean, whenever somebody says major update, what does that mean? There are no small updates anymore. Anytime you're doing this, it's a big deal. But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see a bunch of little things fixed. I have a feeling they're going to bring back the proper, you know, mute thing.
Wow, I think that would be a big reversal if they do that.
It'd be a huge reversal, and it would be the right one, because I want it.
I completely agree with
that. Well, I think that I am the only person who does not mind not having a mute button. Like, the none option, totally good enough for me.
Well, see, you're just wrong.
I mean, my phone now just...
Apparently.
My phone just sits on priority 95% of the time now.
I flip between none and open the floodgates. I almost never use priority. So it's clearly how I use the phone.
Right.
This was made for Russell. I see it is.
I'm trying to think how I like using things now. I like basically for the phone to be quiet, for the watch to buzz, but still get notifications on the phone. Does that make sense? Like, I still want to see them show up here. I don't mind that they pop up. I just don't want it to make any noise whatsoever. That's, is that too much to ask?
Apparently.
Fine. No, I did ask Google, and Google flat out said no comment, which really? Is not surprising. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're working on something. 5.1 comes after 5.0. That's not a surprising number, but right now it's just a number. I know we've seen this, feature of drop-down Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and Russell and I were arguing over whether that's useful. I don't think people are going to be hopping Wi-Fi quite as much as someone might think, but as Russell pointed out, Bluetooth would make a little more sense there.
It's also important to keep in mind that Google's idea of version numbering for importance sake has been adorably mismatched over the years. So if you think that a 0.1 release means something because 0.1 releases in other software instances or even other versions of Google's releases is something significant, you're wrong. We have no idea.
Yeah.
It seriously could be anything.
Just going to have to be patient. Somebody screwed the pooch and sent out something they shouldn't have. You know what? Maybe they said 5.1 on it and it was supposed to say 5.01. I don't know. What is Android 1 running right now? I don't even know offhand.
I think Alex is the only one of us that has one.
Yeah.
I think it's KitKat.
So, maybe it's as simple as that. Denny wants to know, so what will Mattel and Google announce next week? There's a thing going on in New York. It's got to be some sort of cardboard thing or some sort of thing like that.
Maybe I would assume that it's related to Google Cardboard, and that would excite me personally because I really like what's happening with cardboard. I want Google to put some direction on cardboard instead of letting people go, here's another weird thing to strap to your face. I would love for Google to have some kind of direction for it.
Do you think it'll actually be for cardboard, or do you think it's going to be like some plastic ViewMaster thing you just happen to drop your phone into, like a poor man's, Gear VR?
Yeah, who knows if they make, the same exact cardboard enclosure, but just a little more durable and buy it in Toys R Us and throw your phone of a certain size in it.
Yeah, as far as my brain is concerned, you just described the Gear VR, so...
hopefully not cost $200.
Right, and that's, so if Google can accomplish what the Gear VR accomplishes for, let's go ahead and say $50, then...
That would be
a wildly different experience. Yeah, that works with many different phones. I hope that that's what happens. That would be really cool stuff to see. Just a little tiny bit more stability when it comes to this platform.
It's an interesting question from David. And I have a few thoughts on it. Pebble has suggested they're doing a new OS and device this week. This week it was suggested. Does that help Pebble pull back to being even more relevant? And what would you like to see Pebble 3.0, and then he puts in quotes, bring to the smartwatch scene compared with Android Wear M? Now, remember, it's been rumored that the next major version of Android will have to do with cars or M or, whatever.
When did Pebble become irrelevant?
Yeah, I think with a company like Pebble, you need to look at Mindshare, and you also need to remember that it's a small company, so they can set very specific intentions for, all right, we know we need to sell this many to actually break even or not lose too much money. So too often we talk about companies winning, and I certainly, knowing what I know about Pebble and the people running it, I don't think they wake up in the morning saying, we have to sell more smartwatches than anybody. Otherwise, we fail. So,
and I walk around a relatively crowded city every single day, and I have never seen another Android Wear watch. Even in Seattle, which is, I think, relatively tech-forward, I've never seen another Android Wear watch, and I see a ton of Pebbles still.
Yep.
And, I don't know what Android Wear sales from the different manufacturers are like, but they are not as high as Pebbles. And, you know, Pebble had a head start as well, of course. But, you know, I just, like Russell said, I don't think that you should dismiss Pebble as being irrelevant when you think about how small the market for Android Wear is right now.
I will say this. Look at the leap from the original Pebble to Pebble Steel. Look at the design leap between those two. I think we're going to end up seeing something really cool from them. I'll be curious to see if it gets me back on Pebble. And I'm still enjoying the hell out of Android Wear. I need to use Pebble again. It's been a while. I need to see where it's at. But, yeah, I have high hopes for them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Brian, see, I love it when the Q&A just takes care of the news for us. We don't have to worry about it. Brian says, will Sprint having a dedicated presence with the Radio Shack deal have an effect with their relationship with third-party retailers like Best Buy and other stores? Yeah, absolutely. So if you didn't see the news, Radio Shack filed for bankruptcy, finally. It didn't happen, you know, years ago like you figured it might. And Sprint very quickly came to the rescue and said, we're going to open up shop in these stores.
1,750 stores.
Yeah. So not all of them, but a lot.
A lot of them.
And they said, look, you know, we're going to sell other stuff other than Sprint products. But the Sprint name is still going to be everywhere, which actually reminds me very much of what a Verizon store is right now, or at least mine here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the what Sprint is doing and what the question is there is a little bit different. I mean, they're at, I can't remember his name now, the question's disappeared, but he's asking if it'll hurt their, you know, their presence in Best Buy now or their presence in other places. I think that's separate from the issue of, or issue for the other carriers of, now Sprint is not going to sell Verizon phones in Radio Shacks, which I don't know how big of a hit that is to Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, but that's an important part of that deal, is that now that's 1,750 fewer Radio Shack stores that are selling their competitors. But at the same time, like the question said, what is Sprint's focus going to be on Best Buy and car toys and, you know, these other retailers? I'm not sure if they're going to care as much about those, because now they just 2.5 times the number of retail stores that they have. Well, I mean, what do you think? Would they continue to care about Sprint's presence in Best Buy if they're in every single Radio Shack or half the Radio Shacks out there?
That's a good question. I mean, again, it all comes down to the numbers, and these companies obviously know the numbers. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling it'll hit a little bit, yeah. And that's assuming they don't sell competitors' phones. That would be really interesting if they did.
Yeah, I mean, they highlighted the fact that they're going to sell Sprint, Boost, and Virgin. They didn't say exclusively, but gosh, that would make no sense at all to just put their competitors right next door when they're paying for the store to be run. But I mean, I have many, many questions about why they're doing this in the first place, but if they're doing this, it'd be interesting to see how it affects their other retail relationships, in that they're obviously going to be putting a lot of money into this, and operating a lot of stores is not cheap. And you know, they already had 1,100 stores in the first place, which is not a small number of stores. So, you know, what is this going to mean for Sprint-only stores? What kind of returns are they expecting out of these combined stores? What are they going to do with their other, you know, are you going to see as many little kiosks and malls and small pop-up kind of stores? Or is this like their only retail strategy?
We shall see.
Still not going to save Sprint. But
maybe every single one of the Radio Shack stores will have a new antenna put on top so that their network is bigger.
It's what a viable option.
Ben asked about some other good news of the week. Galaxy S Edge, dual curved edges. Samsung is going to add even more bloatware to utilize the curved edge. No way they toned down TouchWiz like some have reported. I'm not putting too much faith in these TouchWiz toned down stories. We hear it every year, and every year it's wrong. Every year.
And also, I think that anybody who says that you need extra bloatware to handle the edge screen, didn't actually use a Note Edge because there's no extra bloat there. It's just this edge screen, and obviously you need specialized software to run on that. I mean, you can't just put the Edge there and have it, you know, expect Android to just know what to do with that. So there's nothing beyond what you need to run that software. So
I think we maybe need to define bloatware again, because we did a post this week. I don't think any of us wrote it, but SwiftKey and was it OnePlus?
Oh yeah,
yeah. OnePlus have a deal now, so SwiftKey is going to be preloaded in OnePlus ROMs. You know, and I think we called it bloatware in the headline and probably in the story, and technically it is. So is it still bloatware even if I like the app and I use it and it's one of the first things I install?
Yep.
Well, I mean, what?
Not 100% of people want it, but I mean, the funny thing is people like to throw around the bloatware name at, you know, the AT&T address book app that fires up on an AT&T phone, but they're less inclined to call Swipe or SwiftKey bloatware because a larger number of people would install those anyways.
I was very much back and forth on how I felt about us calling it bloatware, because I use it. I think it's a great keyboard. That's my favorite keyboard. But at the same time, I get it. Yeah, it's, you know, preloaded app you can't do anything about. So it's something to keep in mind when you call things bloatware.
You know, at the same time, I install Google Keyboard on every phone that I get, but I don't call the default keyboard bloatware, because you need a keyboard on the phone to shipping on the phone. So, you know, maybe that's not the best example when you're talking about keyboards, because you kind of need one. But I don't know. I just think that there are good and bad ways to handle pre-installed apps. I just don't think you can cast too wide of a net and call everything, you know, bloatware just has such a negative connotation to it.
And it's looking more and more likely that we are, in fact, going to see some sort of edge screen, right? The invitation we got to Samsung Unpacked in Barcelona, which is now the evening or afternoon, March 1st evening. We'll be there, obviously. You know, very obviously has the curved screen. Andrew did the nice picture showing them side by side. I mean, so is everybody else. It's pretty obvious. Could you see a dual edge normal Galaxy S phone?
You know, we had that one, I think it's just a single report that said that there would be two edges, you know, or two curved edges. That little leak out of a case for the S6 or S Edge, whatever they're calling it, didn't quite show, I don't think that was very conclusive that there are two curved edges on the thing. Out of practicality standpoint, I honestly don't see the reason to have two edge screens. One edge made it tough enough to hold a large phone. I don't know how that would translate. One of the things I said about the Note Edge in the review was, I wish it was a little smaller. Maybe that wouldn't make this edge so awkward. But I think that adding two edges would... I just don't think functionally what you can get out of it, considering you already have to kind of tilt the phone to see what's on that concave portion. Now you've got to tilt it both ways to look, and I'm just not sure how that would translate to both sides.
I'm almost thinking like try to use an M8 upside down, like backwards.
Mm-hmm. Except for the parts that the webbing of your thumb hit are capacitive touchscreens that can do things when you touch them.
We'll see. So it'll be interesting.
I know that the palm rejection is really good, but dang, you're just making it really hard to hold a phone at that point.
Yeah. All right, let's fly through some final ones, shall we? Brandon wants to know, should I wait for the Asus Zenfone 2 or get a Moto X 2014 now?
I think those are two classes, different classes of device.
Yeah. I haven't used the Asus one yet, but I agree. I think they're two different things. Doug wants to know, let's say money is no object, what Android phone is the one to get now? And then how about in 3 to 6 months? Now, I'm super happy with the M8 again. What about you, Russell?
I'm still rocking my Moto X 2014.
Andrew, happy with it. God, I'm so torn. My Moto X is still so slow that I'm kind of falling out of love with it. But I like the M8 unless camera is very important to you.
Actually, I'm going to change my answer. Even though I don't use it, the Note 4, I think it's the one you have to get now. I really do. It's probably the best all-around phone, period.
I would also just say pump the brakes for a month and wait.
Yeah. And when we say a month, we actually mean like probably 2 months at least.
Well, before. At least in a month you can see whether or not something's going to peak.
You'll have a better idea. Yeah. Denny says Google should team up with Sonos. I completely agree. But for whatever reason, that just hasn't happened. It totally should. Sonos with a microphone, and I talk to it.
I would throw many dollars at a Sonos One with Google Now.
Yeah. That goes back to Miss Alexa up here. Miss Alexa. You see, lights up when I say her name the right way. It's funny how the LED is almost exactly the same as what's in the Nexus Q. Like when you set it up, which way does my head go? So when you set up Alexa the first time, it has that same glowing orange, like the exact same color that you see in the Nexus Q right now. It was really kind of ironic. Denny wants to know what's everyone's thoughts about Google Wireless. I think I can answer for both of you, and in fact I shall, when I say it doesn't exist. When it exists, ask us. But so far it does not. Brent asks a good one. Not very important, but annoying. Why would my profile picture show up in the Lollipop notification bar in my Nexus 5, but not in my Nexus 7? I agree. I've seen that as well.
I was just saying the same thing today when I turned my Nexus 7 on.
You have to put it in there manually. It's not tied into Google Plus for whatever reason on the HTC phones. I'm trying to remember if it was in the Moto X, Russell. Do you remember?
I think so, because I haven't done anything special about it on the Moto X.
Yeah, it's automatic. Okay,
then it was just HTC that didn't do it. So.
Yeah. And then the tablets, for some reason, are funky on them.
Yeah. Ryan wants to know, is it better if a manufacturer gives an update or not? Yeah, I think they should give ballparks. But I also think we need to remember this stuff ain't easy and things happen.
Mm-hmm. More information is always better, even if it's information you don't like.
Yep. Denny asked about the edge display, or James asked about the edge displays. We already talked about that.
See, David asked about BT and EE. I think that hopefully Alex will try to shed some light on that once we know what happens now that they've combined.
I think the knee-jerk reaction I saw from people like on Twitter is pretty much the same thing you would hear here, and it's no, or whatever the British equivalent of no is.
No. Waldo Corvera asked, why does Russell's camera change color temperature? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Ooh, it's actually,
it's Google Plus. Sometimes it forgets what the setting is and drops it back to warm after it remembers.
That's crazy.
That is totally a feature built into Hangouts.
I got this little light right in front of me, so if I forget to turn it on, it's like night and day. Turn off. Actually, I have the lights turned off in the office. Russell.
Let's see.
Anything else? Andrew, pick the last one.
Oh, geez, you're really putting me on the spot here.
Look, it's not like you invited the entire world to the podcast or anything.
Oh, okay, sure, yeah. Well, a simple one to go out on. Doug asks if it's worth it to upgrade to the Note 4 from an S5. There's like considerable size aside. There are considerable improvements in camera and just hardware in general. That again, money's no option. I think that you'll notice a big improvement.
That, boys and girls, I think it's going to do it. Oh, I do need to read this one email from Harry. It says, your coverage of Microsoft recently was really impressive for me and shows you guys are unbiased and have a great overview of what's going on in the tech world. To which my initial reaction is, we wrote about Microsoft recently? Cool.
About the CM thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's especially good because I wrote that.
And, I'm so close to Redmond that they could, come find me if we say something mean, right?
That's
so,
true.
Phil, don't do it.
It's really out of fear for Andrew's life. No, thanks. Look, I tell you, we've gotten a lot of really interesting email over the past week over, the new emphasis on series that we're doing. And I get that, not everybody wants to read about Clash of Clans, but here's the awesome thing about the internet. You don't have to. Just move on. We'll do more stories afterwards. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch, or I guess listen to the quick thing I did with my daughter yesterday about Clash of Clans. Is cracking me up. And Russell and I are still playing. Jerry's in the clan. It's kind of a crazy little game when you stop and think about it. I mean, I can't appreciate how many people are actually playing that game. It's nuts.
There is a ton of people playing this game, and they do it all day long.
Spend so much money.
Sneaking a quick collection while they're at work. They, you know.
I catch my wife spending money.
Yep.
I totally have. She's like, all right, I'm buying more gems. Oh, fine. See? Look what I've done. Look what I've done. All right, if you want to email us, do it at podcast@androidcentral.com, or better yet, come join us live, because the Q&A is a lot of fun.
But not like Phil invites you to join live.
Like, even more fun is when I put that link out everywhere. We should totally do it one week and just maybe what? Should we hold a raffle? Like some sort of contest to... We really should just get somebody
there you
to hang out. See, it's such a crapshoot, though, because I get they're going to be nervous, and it's not for everybody, but we'll see. Maybe we'll do that this year, finally, and see how it goes.
Talk to them beforehand.
Oh, see, now you're spoiling it. But yeah. Yeah. podcast@androidcentral.com. As we are every week, we are still brought to you by the Android Central store /shopandroid.com. Go there, buy things. We're selling things. Got a lot more accessory
smartphone things.
Yeah, a lot more accessory reviews on the way, so you can kind of get a little preview of what's in there and see what we think about them.
Yes, I have a new wireless charger. I would hold up to the camera, but it's stuck to my desk, so which is a good thing. It's supposed to be stuck to your desk. It's not supposed to slide around all over the place.
See, I've got a few that I haven't taken the plastic off for that very reason.
I kept mine off until I made up my mind that that's where I want it, and committed.
Fair enough.
No regrets.
Go follow us on all the things. Android Central on Instagram and Twitter and Google Plus and the Facebook. YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Especially as we get going to Mobile World Congress, because there's going to be a ton of stuff coming out of there. It's going to be fun. I'm getting excited. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. Andrew, Russell, everybody in the chat, thank you. Everybody who came in early and got ejected by me, sorry, that was my fault. Well, I mean, I meant to eject you, but I'm sorry I invited you. I'm not sorry I invited you, but I'm sorry I invited you. You weren't supposed to be there. Wow. I won't do that again.
Jeez. Bad guy, Phil Nickinson.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We're having a blast. See y'all next week.
Bye-bye.
Oh, crap.
Did you share that Hangout invite link?
Guess what I just did. This is going to be a fun podcast. We're going to see who all shows up. Awesome.
Be on top of your game here, Phil. He's busy wearing his sunglasses. He's wearing his sunglasses when he was sharing links.
That's what I get. We should totally do that one day and just do it for whoever shows up.
Hi, Samuel, by the way. Saw you.
That's awesome. Somebody else here?
Hi. How's it going?
That is awesome. We should make one of them just like hang out for a minute. All right.